The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Watching us on the PCTV Select app and on Channel 1301, Access Pittsfield here on your cable dial. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It's Friday, July 31st, the last day of July already. Midpoint of the summer, maybe we call it. Although, you know, around this time, they're always putting those back-to-school ads on. So it feels like summer is drifting away fast. So use it as you can. Get all the summer in that you can. We're talking today, by the way, about the Josh Billings runaground. We've got Brian Burkle and Chris Calvert here to talk about that this morning. That's coming up on September 20th, so mark your calendar for the Josh Billings. If you don't know what the Josh Billings runaground is, first of all, are you even a Berkshire resident? And if you know about it, maybe there's a few things you won't know that we'll teach you about today in our interview. So looking forward to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's get to our weather forecast and find out what we have in store for us from the National Weather Service. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy. Patchy fog. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Patchy fog after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, there was a little bit of fog out there this morning as I was driving in. Kind of unusual to see that, you know, maybe not, but that's what it felt like. It felt like we've been having some nice weather, although I haven't been here for a lot of it the last week or so. So this is, I'm shaking the rust off here a little bit this morning, getting back into the swing of things, hosting the show this morning.
You missed all the rain.
I know. That's what I heard. it was quite the of course, we missed a lot of it also. Berkshire's got in the, 4 or 5 inch range, and some folks over in the Albany area, we're looking at 10, 11 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. That's crazy.
Crazy. Too much at once.
What's that?
Too much at once.
Yeah, way too much, right? Like, first we're in a drought condition, and then we get too much rain. Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive. Both Chris Calvert and Brian Burkle, thanks for being here this morning. Looking forward to our conversation about the Josh Billings.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
All right. So tell me a little bit about the race itself and a little bit of the background for people that aren't familiar with what it is. I'm sure a lot of people who aren't sort of in the mindset of being in a triathlon or knowing what it is, give us a little history of it and what it means to the county.
Yeah. So, first of all, you mentioned that we're halfway through the summer, and for better or worse, the race is on September 20th, which is the last full day of the summer.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Next day is fall, unfortunately. But yeah, so it's going to be Sunday, September 20th this year, and we're in our 49th race. This will be the 49th race. And so next year's 50, so we've got a lot planned. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves today, but we do have a lot planned for the 50th.
And it's happened every single year in that time. It was never skipped a year.
There was one.
Was there
so
one?
There, is,
yeah.
a little, there
yeah.
is a little asterisk.
Yeah, yeah. One weather year that kind of put a little downer on the race. But
yeah, other it's going to happen. You know,
it is the oldest triathlon of its kind in the entire country.
Is that
which
right?
Is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
There was one other one out in California. And they stopped after the pandemic.
Yeah, that kind of threw the wrench in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Even the Pittsfield 4th of July parade took a couple of years off. So there's always an asterisk there somewhere.
Yeah. And even with the pandemic, they still had one that was virtual.
Yes.
But then there was another weather event afterwards, which we've also learned from that Mm-hmm. And we've had some modifications to how we would deal with the weather going forward,
mm-hmm.
which is the new plan is that we wouldn't make any sort of determination for any kind of cancellation or postponement until the morning of.
Okay.
So around 6 o'clock in the morning, race day,
mm-hmm.
is when that decision would be made. Because, yeah. you know, the Berkshire, the weather changes.
Right.
So even short of like Al Roker telling us that Hurricane, you know, Pete is on yeah, its way and yeah. it's definitely going to hit us. You know, short of that, you know, we'll monitor that weather real closely with the emergency services.
What kind of weather would sideline the Josh Billings? What kind of thing, like lightning? Or
mostly it's lightning. Yeah. With that many people out in the water, yeah. there's no real safe way to get everybody off the water.
Yeah, but if you just got a plain old rainstorm, that's not going to stop everything.
I've probably started not. The bike start with the light snow coming down.
We get light snow on September 20th? I guess we could.
It can happen.
Early in yeah. the morning, yeah. yeah. I mean, it turned into a nice day later on. Yeah. But most of the time, we usually get pretty good weather in that time of the year. But mm-hmm. Short of thunder and lightning.
Mm-hmm. High winds, you know, I mean, real high winds, right. where there's a risk of trees coming down, that mm-hmm. type of thing. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, you know, our racers are, you know, they're weathered.
I would say they've got to be pretty rugged, you know? Right?
Yeah, they're no rugged. you know, they practice and they go out on their own for their own time.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the rain and the wind. So you know, we it's only if it's a life threatening situation. Yeah.
Fair to say that folks are preparing already and right now, and maybe they have been preparing since the snow melted this mm-hmm. year for the Josh.
Some,
well, yeah, yeah, some. What's it like to train for it?
Well, it depends what you're doing. So, mm-hmm. so for those who don't know what this triathlon yeah. entails, you know, as Chris said, it's the oldest one of its kind in the country. It's a non-swim triathlon.
Mm.
So it's bicycling first, mm-hmm. 27, a little over 27 miles, and that starts in Great Barrington,
mm-hmm.
goes down through the roads through Alford, West Stockbridge, and Stockbridge, and then the racers transition. Now you can do it as an iron person, meaning you're doing all three legs by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's quite a few people that do that.
Are
it's a very
really?
Popular thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At least a third of the participants
wow.
are, of about a third of the teams, quote unquote teams,
yep.
are iron racers.
Wow. See, I would have thought that would be the exception. I thought that would be, you know, most people would do the three-man team or, mm-hmm. or whatever, or share the load.
Yeah.
But a third of them are iron men.
About a third wow. of the teams yeah. are iron. So then the rest of the teams, you can have a tin, which is a two-person. So, you know, you divvy up how you want to do it. You know, one person can do two legs, one could do the other, you know, that mm-hmm. type of thing. And then there's also very popular is the team ones where you can have three to four people depending on which category you've chosen. So the first part is the bicycling, and then you transition either to a teammate, or if you're the iron, you just transition yourself to the water portion.
Mm.
So that's the paddle part, and we do canoe, kayak, and paddleboard.
Okay.
And so that's almost twice around the Stockbridge Bowl, about mm-hmm. a little over 5 miles. So you start, that's at the Stockbridge Bowl boat ramp, and that's where you begin that portion. And then okay. you finish over at Camp Mackinac on the
mm-hmm.
other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you
but
transition to the
there's a couple of laps around to
yeah,
make
it's
it 5 miles.
Almost two full laps.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to Mackinac, you transition to the running portion. So either to your teammate or yourself if mm-hmm. you're an iron or tin. And then it's a 10K, so a little, you know, you go around Stockbridge Bowl down the bottom half and then come up, and the finish line is at Tanglewood.
Mm.
So that's where the big finale is. We got back there last year, which there's a little time where we had a different arrangement.
Yeah.
But Tanglewood invited us back last year. It went fantastic. Yeah. We're really excited about doing that again this year, as are our participants.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately after that is what we call the bash, which is the party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have a party, right?
Right.
So we've got
put all that work in. You got to celebrate.
So at the bash, we, you know, we have our award ceremony, which, by the way, this is the award. So it's a mug.
Nice.
There's, you know, there's no gold medals or anything like that.
With Josh Billings' mug on it.
Yes, exactly. Yes. A mug with his mug on it. And but this is, you know, heavily sought after. I mean, you know, people who are at the level where they're winning these things, and there's a lot of categories. Mm. You don't ever write yourself out. You know, you might find a category that you could really shine in.
So there isn't one winning category. There's
second, and third place mm-hmm. for all of our categories. And there's 39 categories.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, again, with the iron in each of those things, and what really kind of causes us to break it down are the three different types of watercraft. And then we have, you know, So then there's competitive ones, and then there's some that are more casual, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have a recreational category. We have one for first responders, right?
Oh, wow.
Where they can maybe just sort of like compete against other first responders. You know, like one fire department is competing against another fire department for bragging rights more than anything. They still get it. They still get a mug if they win.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know,
different age categories as well.
So not so much. Well, there are. Yes, there are, in fact, some. Mm-hmm. Mostly as you get up in age. So we do have some breakdown on that. So again, if you know, don't rule yourself out because of age. Mm-hmm. And the big thing about it is that it is a big family event. Mm. It's multi-generational. So many people come to us and they're like, you know, my grandfather did this, or my grandfather's doing it with me this year, right? or my dad, or, you know, some families will bring their little kids just to ride along in the canoe. And that's because we have a family category, which is you still win something, but it's not like the hardcore competitive folks, you mm-hmm. know, with the real high end equipment. Mm. So there's a lot of opportunities. So if you are interested, check it out. JoshBillings.com. You can look at all the different categories, see what works for you. So that's the gist of it.
Yeah. What is, and let's go into each one of these different categories, right? Mm-hmm. So you can start with the bike. And then you go to the water portion, and as you mentioned, there's a few different types of craft that you can use in that. There isn't one that gives you an advantage, I assume, between the kayak and the stand-up paddleboard. And what do you think?
I think there's a big difference between the three.
Do you really?
Yeah. I mean, you take some of the tandem surf skis against a single person on a paddleboard.
Yeah.
They're not going to stay with them.
Who's going to win that one?
Oh, surf ski by far. Yeah. But there's racing canoes, there's wreck canoes. They also are going to have a tough time staying with each other. But that's why we do have them separated into different categories.
Okay. So one isn't racing against the other. Basically, it's.
Well, I think on the elite side of it, I think a lot of them are still racing against each other for bragging rights of like who. One, uh-huh. which is a lot of fun.
Are the stand-up paddle boards a kind of a newer entry? Is that something that's come in the last few years, or has that been around longer?
It's been around for a decent number of years, but it's, you know, the whole race started with just being canoes.
Okay.
And then, you know, as our numbers were kind of dwindling, we introduced kayaks, and the numbers started going back up again because... Uh-huh. At that time, I think a lot of people were recreational kayaking, and they were doing it and having the fun. And then paddleboarding became popular, and we said, yeah, what the heck.
So what do you think, Chris, is the most strenuous part of this triathlon? Which one is the one that you're going to put your top guy or your top girl against and say, this is the person that's going to win this race for us? It's got to be the running, right?
It's tough. A little bit of it's got to do with the bike.
Yeah.
And that's always a fun finish to watch when they come flying in. because that puts the boat in the water early. And if you're in the water early, it's pretty calm. Mm-hmm. So on the second lap, when all the boats are in the water, it gets a little shaky. But the boats can make up a little bit of time. And having a good runner is probably the biggest one, I would say.
Is that the finish, right?
That's the finish.
That's the last push. And each one of those legs is going to need some support for the teams, right? You can't just go out there and be your own person. Like, you know, you got to have people to help you get the boats in and out of the water and to help you take the bike as you're transitioning and things like that.
If you're an Ironman, you do have helpers that take your bike, or if you don't, you can leave your bike there or watching it until you can come back for it. Mm-hmm. It's definitely need somebody to help you out moving your boat out of the way the next transition. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's always volunteers every transition point that are there to help you get your boat out of the water, help you do pretty much anything you need. If you're a racer, everybody is there to help out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and if you're doing the iron, like Chris said, you have the option of having a helper. And the helper even gets a bib, you know, like a number bib and everything, so that they have sort of like a I'm with the band kind of thing, you know, so that they can be where they need to be. And that's the person who you're on the team, because you're that person now who's moving that bike and moving that, getting that boat out of the water. If you're a team of three or four, you just stay. If you're the bike, if you're the cyclist, then you just hand off the wristband to the boater, and then you take the bike and you take care of it and you put it away. And same thing with the boat, right? So if you're in the boat, you hand off to the runner, and then you take the boat to shore and get it out of the water. So if you have a full team, you don't have other helpers per se. Mm-hmm. But regardless, even where like the extraction is for the boats, we always have a team of volunteers from the high school who are down there to help out every year, which is super helpful.
And that's at Lake Mackinac, you said, right?
Well, so, yeah, the actual extraction is at the Tanglewood Beach, which is just a little bit further down, just so that there's a little room for the racers as they're coming in for that transition. So once they transition, it's like, oh, keep moving, keep moving, and we'll get you out down at Tanglewood.
And we're talking today about the Josh Billings Runnerground. If you're just tuning in to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, we're talking with Brian Burkle and Chris Calvert. Brian is the race director. Chris is the committee president of the organization. And, it's unmistakable the day of the Josh, right? What's going on? If you're in that area between Great Barrington and Lenox, you know it's like Josh Day.
Yeah. And we clear out of Great Barrington pretty quickly. I mean, so that's another thing, is that one thing that was new last year was we started at 8:30. Which we're doing that again this year. So the route
earlier,
it was a little bit earlier than it had been traditionally, which worked out fantastic. You know, we got people, you know, basically by 9 o'clock, there's nobody in Barrington anymore. Right. So everybody just gets out, you know, they get going at 8:30. They're into Alford before you know it, which helped with, the church traffic and all that stuff that's going on down in Great Barrington on a Sunday morning. So and all the racers, they're ready to go.
What's that bike course like? How hilly is it? I would imagine you got some challenges there, right?
There's a couple of stretches when you're going up into Alford that are pretty hilly right when you leave Great Barrington heading up. And then another stretch kind of over by West Stockbridge. But it's I would say, kind of gradual. I don't think it's anything over the top going to kill you like Alpe d'Huez, but... You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful bike ride.
What are some tips for people to train for this race? I mean, now we're already almost in August.
Yeah.
So that means people have been doing this probably for the summer. But what are some good tips to, you're going to participate in one of these legs. Obviously, if you're a runner, you know what you need to do to get your body in shape and process it so that when you get to race day, you're in peak condition. What are some of the other things that people typically do?
So, first of all, I don't want to discourage anybody who's not ready yet, because
still got time.
They still have time, and there's still 50 days until the race, right? So, if you're considering it and you're like, "Oh, I could never pull it off," if you've done some of this stuff in the past, you can pull it off. Because here again, the motto of the race is to finish is to win. So, and there's so many people who participate, I should say. To just be able to have that experience, have those stories, right? So they're not in it to come in first, second, or third, right? Not to say you couldn't, and if you choose the right category, right? But I don't want anybody to think that, there's no way I could pull it off. But if you are planning to join us, and whether you're an elite racer or you're a beginner, the first thing I'd say is check out on our website, because it will show the routes. So that you know exactly where it is. It'll show, particularly as you mentioned with the bicycling, it'll show the elevations so that you can kind of plan that out mentally. Maybe you can take that trip and go do that route.
Right.
We also have some clinics that we're offering free of charge. So we already had one of our paddling clinics, but the next one, I'm going to get the right dates here.
Yeah.
The next paddling clinic is going to be September 4th at 5:30 p.m., and that's going to be at Stockbridge Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Again, these are free. Yeah. All these clinics we're going to talk about, they're all free. You don't need to register in advance, just kind of show up. We're also going to have a cycling clinic. We're going to have one on August 25th at 5:30 at the boat ramp, and September 5th at 9 a.m. At the boat ramp. And then we have two running clinics. And again, the running clinics are going to basically do the running route. One of them is September 13th. That's the week before. And we're working on another one. It'll be in August. Mm-hmm. So that'll be on our website very soon. So those are all things that, that people can do to help get themselves situated. The other thing is, too, is that...
It's great that they're free clinics, too,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. Of course. Yeah. I mean, we want to encourage people to do that.
Yeah.
Through Berkshire Bike and Board, down in Great Barrington and Pittsfield, they lead in September. There'll be two dates. They'll put those up soon if it's not already on their website. They lead two bicycling excursions, which are the trail, which are the route. You know, they start down at Great Barrington, and they loop around, and that is the route. That is the racetrack. Mm-hmm. That is the race route. So that's an opportunity to kind of experience that as well. But the other thing is, if your expertise or your thing is that you are a runner, or you are a paddler, mm-hmm. or a bicyclist, and that's all you do, and you don't have a full team yet, mm-hmm. we have a matchmaking option.
Ah.
So you can go to our website, go to Matchmaker, and put in, you know, say, this is what I do,
mm-hmm.
and this is what I need. And for what it's worth, and it works out. We you know, you
sounds
make
like
new
kind
friends.
Of a cool way, yeah, to yeah. meet new people and yep. you know, like-minded people trying to do stuff and make some friends. Great,
and they do try. You know, the matchmaker does try to, you know, put people at the same skill levels. Mm-hmm. You know, and so one thing when if you're out there and you're a cyclist, we could use a few cyclists, especially if you're yeah. Under 130. So that is a need that we have right now. So mm-hmm. if that's you and you're thinking about it, please reach out to our matchmaker.
And as you said, there's all skill levels as well. So it's not that you're just looking for the most experienced people who are the competitive ones going to be in the top rungs of the race. This is for everyone,
yeah.
anyone who might be just starting out and saying, oh, this sounds like a kind of a fun thing to try.
Mm-hmm. And like last year, the first place team came in 2 hours and 14 minutes. That was Berkshire Roll-Off was the name of the team.
Okay.
Those were elite. All three levels were elite competitors. And the final team came in at almost 6 hours.
Wow.
So there is that spread, you yeah. know, and we invite everybody because mm-hmm. We want that. Sometimes, you know, the people who have the best stories are the people who came in last,
yeah.
you know.
Is there still a little bit of the bash going on for the people that are coming
absolutely.
In?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bash
That's
goes
important.
goes till 3:30.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so there's time. There's time, you know, if you're up for it at that point. You know, there's still time to get a beer and a hot dog or something, you know.
Right.
So.
And that must be very rewarding at the end to know that you got through this tremendous event mm-hmm. and you see all the people around, and it's just a fun experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also, you know, like I mentioned, the start time is 8:30. One thing that we're going to be really promoting, because we had someone who came a little bit late and jumped on board, but we're not going to permit that this year.
Okay.
Just because it's a safety issue.
Yeah.
So,
but as far as registration goes,
yep.
there isn't like a hard deadline way before the race. It goes right up to what, the day before?
Yeah. So registration, you can do it online up until mm-hmm. 5 p.m. on Friday the 18th, the Friday
okay.
before the race.
So day and a half before.
That's online.
Yeah.
The day before, Saturday, mm-hmm. at the Arcadian shop is where the packet pickup is for all the racers. And we have, you can still come in person and register up until about 5 p.m., I think it is. Mm. So there's still an option. And we do. We still get a dozen people that show up on day of. Or, I'm sorry, not day of. Day before on Saturday
yeah.
and register the day before.
Wow.
So
there's still a chance, you're saying.
Right up until 5 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you could be thinking about it the entire time, or training, or not. But I'm sure training is recommended. You want to have a good experience,
mm-hmm.
right? You
want to yeah.
you want to be at least prepared for what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, we want you to be successful. We want you to enjoy yourself.
Right.
Not get hurt for sure. We don't want anybody getting hurt.
Yeah.
So make sure you're at least prepared for that.
Let's talk about the different ages of people involved with the race. It's really, as you mentioned, can be a family event. You've got some high performers, people that are competitive. I assume some much younger folks, maybe even younger than high school age, and then probably some older folks as well. So what's that like having so many different age groups involved?
I think it's interesting because some of the teams you'll have somebody who's, you know, 65 plus on the same team as a 20-year-old kid. So it can go all over the place, and mm-hmm. it's interesting too because you don't want to factor out the older generation because they've been doing it so long, their technique is usually a lot better. So
yeah.
it's still really competitive. And we've had people, up until a couple of years ago, we had one person who had raced every single race from the very beginning up until pretty much the pandemic.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's and now actually his family's coming into the area from all around the country to race in this place. So it's neat.
That's great.
But it's interesting. It's fun to watch everybody. I mean, the big key is you know, you got to get young people into it to keep the race going. And,
right.
You know, the older generations are the ones that have, you know, brought us to where we're at right now. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun.
And you have a specific kids race as well, right? So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So that's a regular part of this event every year. It's the Josh Billings Kids Fun Run, and that is also free. Mm. That's free for all the kids that sign up. They can also register that online, but we will also have an opportunity the day before. And this is one where you can sign up day of. Mm. So there is a last minute opportunity to sign up day of.
And do they do the same course as everybody else?
No.
It's
over in the this one we set up over in the west lot of Tanglewood.
Okay.
And there's a half mile version and a 1 mile version.
Huh.
And it's for kids from ages 5 through 12.
Okay.
That's expected to start around 1 p.m. The day of the bash. So, you know,
we do encourage you to sign up for that early, though, because we do have some free T-shirts that we can hand out to the kids. Mm-hmm. And it's while supplies last.
Yeah, while supplies last, as they say. That's a tradition that's been going on for many years. And we've got that's a sponsor this year by Adams Community Bank.
Okay.
And Berkshire Pediatric Dentistry over on Elm Street. So they are co-sponsors for this event specifically.
That's great.
Yep.
And so if you're kicking off at 8:30 in the morning in Great Barrington, and the earliest people finishing the entire race, we said about 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually arriving, some of the earliest people are arriving back at Tanglewood at the finish line well before noon.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that bash is going to go all afternoon.
So the bash.
I keep coming back to the bash.
Yeah,
that's the thing I probably would qualify for.
We've got music. We've got the Hoosie Shakers playing. Nice. We've got food trucks, beer tent.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have the awards ceremony and with 39 categories and 3 places. That does take a good portion of the time, but that's towards the end of the day. And that's a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
and obviously you said the kids race starting around 1 o'clock. So by that time, a lot of people have already finished up the main course. Right?
Yeah, most folks are across the line.
Mm-hmm.
So the bash, I think, gets started around 11, like officially gets started around 11. Because like to your point, there are going to be some racers that are going to come along like 15 minutes later. You know? So we want to kind of have a warm welcome for them when they get there.
Yeah. We're talking about the Josh Billings Runaground. If you're just tuning in to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, listening to the voices of Brian Burkle and Chris Calvert from the race. And lots more to talk about, actually. All kinds of things about volunteers we want to talk about in the second half. And also what happens with the money that's raised from the Josh Billings.
Mm-hmm.
That happens every year, and we'll talk about that. And lots more. So let's take that top of the hour break right now, and we'll come back with more about the Josh Billings Runaground. We'll just remind you that it's on September 20th, 2026. Registration's open right now online, and the website is joshbillings.com. I also want to, I think we talked about this last year, if I remember right, a little bit about who Josh Billings was and why the race is named after Josh Billings. So we'll just tease that out a little bit, and we'll come back to that and talk in just a moment on Morning Drive after this quick break on 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio. And I'll push the right button this time. Here we go.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sontrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. online at Sondrini.com.
Wonder what happened to those great local PC TV channels? Did you lose them? No worries, they're still there. Go to cable channels 1301, 1302, and 1303 to watch the best local content on television. News and information, sports and entertainment, city council, school committee, July 4th parade, it's all there waiting for you. Pittsfield Community Television. For over 30 years, we are still your local television.
Need help with a new device? PCTV's Digital Navigator can match you with a free laptop, desktop, tablet, or hotspot from our available stock, thanks to the Alliance for Digital Equity. We'll also assess if your current device is worth fixing or ready to recycle. Get a free consultation at PCTV 4 Federico Drive, Pittsfield, or call 413-445-4234. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates, welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you. It's Friday, July 31st. We're live and local here in our studio on Federico Drive, and we're talking about the Josh Billings Runaground with Brian Burkle and Chris Calvert. Lots more to talk about with the race. A reminder again, it's happening on September 20th. That's a Sunday this year. It's always a Sunday, and it just sounds like so much fun. It is every year. It's the 49th one that have been conducted. So the registration is open right now on their website. It's joshbillings.com. And we'll talk more about the sponsorship and the support that the races needed and all kinds of other things coming up in just a moment, right after the weather forecast here from the National Weather Service. Here it is. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy. Patchy fog. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Patchy fog after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Right into midsummer here, as we are on July 31st, right about the midpoint of our traditional summer here in the Berkshires, and everybody starting to think, I think, maybe a little bit about going back to school. Maybe not a lot, but maybe a little bit. Maybe it's in the back of your mind. All right. Morning Drive continues now about the Josh Billings Runaground. Thanks again, Chris and Ryan, for being here today to talk to us about it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as we're getting back into the conversation, let's explore a little bit who Josh Billings was and why we name a race after him.
Yeah. So Josh Billings is Berkshire grown. Berkshire born, right? So that's number one. Hmm. One number one reason that you know we connect with him.
Wasn't he from Lanesboro?
He was. He was born in 1818. His actual name was Henry Wheeler Shaw. Huh. His father was a state legislator, mm-hmm. but he went on to do a number of things. But he was involved with a lot of writings and so forth. Hmm. What he he came up with a pseudonym of Josh Billings, and he was a humorist, sort of like Mark Twain. Okay. And in fact, they were they used to travel together at times and go around and do their presentations, sort of like travel, like stand-up comedians might do now, right? So they'd go to different, they'd go around the country and give their little quips and their little insights and their little stories. And what he particularly did, Josh Billings, was he was sort of like a Will Rogers before there was Will Rogers, right? And so he kind of wrote sort of in a gimmicky kind of way, real like folksy, kind of spelt the words the way they sounded phonetically and things like that. So, but that's his background. And one of the things that, he's supposedly has said was to finish is to win. So that really seems like a great motto. It is our motto for our race. It was originally, so I did get a little bit of background on this. There was an English teacher at BCC named Vi Samorian back in the 70s, and he actually wanted to open a restaurant, and because of his English teaching experience, he was familiar with Josh Billings, and Josh Billings being from Lanesboro, so he wanted to actually name the restaurant after Josh Billings. That didn't go through, but he and his friends at about the same time were thinking about doing some type of a end of the summer sporting event here in Berkshire County. And he said, well, why don't we just use this name? You know, because I'm not going to use it for the restaurant. Let's use it for the race. And that's where it kind of took off from. But like, again, like I said, with his saying of to finish is to win, that is the motto that we've adopted. And it's perfect because, like we said, there's people who are competitive. But it's really meant to be just a fun time and to have a good time and make stories.
So it really is a homegrown connection.
Yeah, for
That's
sure.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. You know, it's you're going to travel around the country and not find another Josh Billings race because it belongs right here in the Berkshires.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And so let's talk about what it takes to put this race together. Obviously, the two of you have been working on this for some time. There have been some long time people that have been involved with the Josh Billings to make it successful year after year and to continue it. It doesn't just happen on its own, right? There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. How long have the two of you been working on this year's race?
It usually starts a couple of weeks after the race is over.
And, you know, you're not the only organization I hear that from. It's amazing how many people say, okay, well, we take a week off or 2 weeks off just to, you know, rest after the thing, and then we get right back into it. Is that the same way for this?
Well, we need to evaluate how the race went, kind of figure out where we can improve it. And, of course, we're brainstorming all sorts of ideas for the 50th race, which I think... hopefully everybody gets excited about. If this race this year goes off as well as I think it will, then it'll give us a lot of momentum for the 50th. But yeah, it's a lot of volunteers that we have to, you know, kind of all pull together. There's the whole committee really helps to kind of figure out different aspects. Like this year, we had to figure out, you know, what to do with the Stockbridge boat launch being changed.
Oh.
So we had subcommittees and committees to work on that.
And what changed about it? Was it something physical at the lake that you had to work around?
They redid the entire boat launch. Okay. So they put in a secondary little kayak canoe launch, paved a little bit of an area.
Made it handicap accessible.
Yeah. I mean, it changed the whole look of what it was. I mean, it's still beautiful, but it makes it a little bit harder for us to stack 350 plus pieces of watercraft all up and down without everybody being on top of each other. So.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't ask that question either. How many people are involved with this with run? Just the people who are involved in the race itself.
So last year we had over 700 racers. We're on track right now to exceed that.
Wow.
Yeah, our registration is up. I hope it's not just a little anomaly spike. but the trajectory is that we will have, if all is going right, we're looking at maybe closer to 1,000 racers this year.
Wow.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But to that point about the boat ramp, the subcommittee has examined it. They have come up with a plan. So everything will be fine. The only thing that would be different for anybody who's participated in the past was when we have the drop-off point early in the morning, is that there just isn't room if you're bringing your boats by trailer.
Oh, really?
There's just not going to be room to turn around.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, strap it to the roof, throw it in the back of the pickup truck, mm-hmm. walk it down. You can even put it in the water somewhere else on the lake and paddle over, right? There's other ways to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But just be mindful if you are bringing a kayak or a canoe there, just don't bring it in a trailer because it's going to you're not going to be able to turn around down there. So just plan ahead for that portion.
Interesting. All those logistics mm-hmm. come into play, right? And you think about it, since that's the second leg of the race, the boat has to be there. You can't just, you know, go out to your car and go get it and put it in the water. It has to be there ready for you to come in from the bike, ditch the bike, right?
So, the boating drop-off ends at 8 a.m. So even before the bikes get started, the boats have to be in place. And all this is detailed on our website. So there are guidelines for every leg of the race. There's guidelines in there if you're a observer. A spectator, you know, where can you park as a spectator? Where are the best places to go? What are the rules? You know, like number one thing is, as far as rules go, is, you know, we can't have dogs at these locations, right? So that, you know, at the boat ramp, it's just too much of a tripping hazard, you know, if they're on a leash. Same with at Mackinac and then at Tanglewood. It's just, so this is the one thing. I mean, well, we all love our dogs, you know, but
it's probably not the greatest place for them.
It's just not safe. No. It's not safe for the dog or for our racer. So please leave your dogs at home that day.
Mm-hmm.
We love dogs. You know, I got plenty of them if anybody wants any. But we just can't have the dogs at these transition points.
Yep. What is the hardest transition point? If you're, let's say you're an Ironman participant, of transitioning between the bike and the water, or the water and the running?
If you're an Ironman?
Yeah.
I would say it's from the water to the run, because you don't want to be running in wet sneakers.
Oh, yeah. Do you have the opportunity to change into new sneakers?
Yes.
Yeah, you can do that.
Mm-hmm. That's usually when it's nice to have a helper.
Uh-huh.
You know, usually your helper will take your bike for you and have different shoes, so you're not wearing your bike shoes in the boat.
Yep.
And then when you transition out of the boat, that they're really nice to have a towel set down for you and your shoes laid out. But that is probably the hardest transition for an Ironman. The bike transition, they actually get their own path into the boat ramp.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as difficult because they kind of get to be away from everybody else. And their boats are also located separately from everybody else's. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for them to get to their boat, get to the water.
What kind of contingencies do you have for people who are racing who are in need? And I think of, like, you have a bike problem, or, you know, somebody falls, or if you're in the boat and you tip, you know, and you got to get back in and somebody needs to help them, or the racers, they're, you know, maybe have an injury or something like that. There's got to be some contingencies there that you have to prepare for. And I'm just saying, all the things that you have to do to make this race successful and safe and fun for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we have over 200 volunteers involved with this. Mm-hmm. And then we have all the emergency services that are available. And part of the volunteers are safety boats on the water.
Nice.
So we have maybe six or seven safety boats on that body of water, and they'll monitor for any problems. We usually have an environmental police officer there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tip over, it's not first make clear, it's not a you're not out of the race.
Okay.
Just right yourself, get back in, and keep going.
Yeah.
And then as far as the bikes go, Berkshire Bike and Board, they provide SAG services, so their support. And gear, SAG, sport and gear. They have a couple vans that'll leapfrog along, and they're at the beginning of the race down at Price Chopper, so that if somebody shows up and, you know, they take the bike off and the chain falls right off as soon as they took it off the car. So there are support services.
Right? Yeah.
And then at the end of the race, too, we also have a shuttle from Canyon Ranch is providing shuttle service for bicyclists who end up at Tanglewood area and need to get back to their cars, maybe if they park down at Price Chopper. Some racers will park at Tanglewood, ride their bike down to Price Chopper, because it's not that far, really, you know.
But still, you think you'd want to sort of reserve some of that strength and not have to bike all the way down.
It's sort of a warm-up. For some, it's a warm-up, and it's mostly downhill. It's mostly downhill at that point. So that's an option for people, too. Yep.
amazing. All the things you have to think about to make it work.
And then, you know, we've got medical services along the way and strategically placed. We've got ambulances that follow the bikers, and we have an ambulance at the boat ramp. We have ambulances at the finish line. We've got water stations for the runners. So we've got all those eyes and ears out there.
What are your needs this year for volunteers? How many more do you think you want? And what do they do if people are listening and they're like, yeah, I might be able to volunteer for that? What kind of jobs would you give them to do?
So we have a pretty good core of returning volunteers, which we're grateful for. They know their job, particularly at the transition points. Because it is a lot of institutional knowledge that makes that run smoothly. But we also need some help at the beginning of the race. So that's just it. Like maybe there's a spot for you at the beginning of the race at 8:30 down in Great Barrington to help get the race started. Or maybe you want to show up at Tanglewood towards the end and help with, you know, just directing people in the right way or handing out things that need to be handed out to the racers. That type of thing. There's such a broad spectrum of things. So if somebody's interested in being part of it, they can just reach out to us again online. There's a volunteer tab you can actually click on, and then then I'm happy to talk with everybody. We're going to be starting to reach out to our volunteers over the next couple of weeks to really start to organize that.
But if you're interested, you can go to joshbillings.com, and there's a tab right there for volunteers if you want to help support this race. I want to ask both of you, and I don't know if I've asked this before or not, give us some of your personal experiences. Have you been in the race? What things have you done? Some of your favorite remembrances of that.
Well, I've done the race a bunch of times. Got a couple of my mugs, not quite as nice as these, but I had a team that was in the Josh the very first year they had kayaks.
Nice.
And we won that division, which was nice. But I've done every leg of it, even down to the Ironman, did a couple of times, after doing competitive teams, doing friends teams. It was a challenge for myself because I'm not a runner.
Okay. So I was going to ask, what was your strength? What did you get in it for? Was it the biking?
I'm more of a paddler.
Paddler, yeah.
But biking was probably right in the same category as the paddling.
Yep.
The run, I'm definitely not so much.
So your favorite part was the water, the middle. But how about just sort of being able to accomplish the whole thing? How did that feel?
It's a great satisfaction when you can do it. And I think a lot of the Ironmen that are out there, they're doing just that. It's challenging themselves to be able to do all three because, most days we're out there recreating. I'm going for a bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going for a paddle.
Yeah.
Or you're going for a run. But to do all three at the same time is exciting.
Yeah. How about you, Brian?
So I've never actually participated in the Josh. I used to be a volunteer back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, over the years, there were times where I lived in West Stockbridge and the bikes used to go by the house and we'd be out there cheering them on, which is something, that's encourage people to do that too. Come on out and cheer these racers on, particularly if they go by your house, right? I was a runner for a while. I got into the marathon bug for a little while, but I've never been in the Josh. But I full appreciation for the training that goes into it and all the effort that goes into the logistics of it and all those volunteers and all those racers. So,
and that's just the part that the sort of functional part of the race. The other end of it, I think, really is the support, right? Of being able to put this race on, to stage this every year, to have sponsors. And again, that sounds like it's probably a year-round effort on your part and other people who are helping to run this race. What kind of things do you look for to bring in support and, monetary support and sponsors?
So, of course, just like any other fund, because we are a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. All right, the Josh Billings Run-A-Ground is a nonprofit. And so it's like any other organization. I mean, this race costs money, right? So we have some operational expenses that we need. We raise money through registration fees, but we also need to raise money through sponsorship. And we have some great sponsors this year, as we do every year. Our title sponsor is Milltown Foundation, which I do want to touch on something there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, Arcadian Shop, Berkshire Health Systems, Lee Bank, Beer Butter, Redline Inn, Haddad, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. Heritage, Tanglewood, of course, Jiminy Peak, Canyon Ranch, What a Gift, Lipton Energy. So, you know, if you're interested in being a part of this team as a sponsor, please reach out to us. We've got about another week and a half before we go and put our shirts to print. Mm-hmm. And I will say this about the shirts. Like, so you see, I'm wearing one right now.
Right.
They are really popular. And, you know, if you're a sponsor, you get your logo on the back. And people wear these things for a long time. I saw a guy jogging on William Street just this morning on my way in wearing his Josh Billings t-shirt. And, you know, at Tanglewood, like I was there a couple of weeks ago and I counted six people just that I saw. I mean, I have sort of, I'm in tune to seeing
because you're
shirts,
looking but, for it, right?
Yeah, but it was just, you know, it was like six different people that I saw, you know, and that was just at one gate entryway. And, so people wear these shirts. They are proud of their experience with it. So they will wear these shirts on and on. So, you know, if that's an incentive for a sponsor to say, hey, listen, that's a shirt I want to have my logo on.
Right.
And they keep them for years and years and years, you know. You know, like an old concert shirt. Like if you got like a Van Halen shirt from 1985, right? You're gonna.
I just might have one of those.
I actually had a Huey Lewis t-shirt from 1986, and I found, and lo and behold, didn't they come to Tanglewood like 10 years ago, or whatever, right? And I pulled that out, and I said, wouldn't this be great? Well, I mean, for some reason, it didn't fit. The shirt I had at 15 didn't fit me anymore. But
I can't imagine, right?
But nonetheless,
that's,
you know,
why I have not pulled my shirts
out.
But
you know, with these Josh Billings shirts, that people really do treasure them, and they wear them around. I mean, you, now that I've said this, folks, start looking around when you're at Price Chopper or you're out anywhere. Just you'll start seeing these shirts.
Sort of like when you buy a car and you never saw that car, and then now you're seeing all of the cars that look like your car.
And so again, we are a nonprofit, but you know, one of our missions as the Josh Billings Runaground is to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And so we've partnered with the United Way for a number of years. So we always, you know, we have a dedicated portion of our proceeds that are generated from registration fees that we always give to the United Way.
That's
for
great.
Them to disperse in this community.
Nice.
And that is unchanged. We are still doing that. Because, and I just want to specify that because there is a new element to the race this year. And that's because Milltown Foundation, when they came on as our title sponsor, they helped coordinate something called the Finish Line Fund. Hmm. And so what that is a peer-to-peer opportunity for people to raise money for local nonprofits. And they have to be a Berkshire-based nonprofit. We wanted to keep this in the community. We want to be community-focused. So what happens is, as a racer, when you register, you have an option, and it's completely an option. Nobody's required to raise any extra money, right? Because, like I said, just your registration fee is going to the United Way or some portion of that after our operational expenses. So, but you have this other option to join the Finish Line Fund, and you can choose. There's a drop down box. There's about 30 different nonprofits that are listed there, and if there's one there that you're interested in learning more about, you can explore it a little bit more. And then, if you want, you can raise money for that organization, and it's the infrastructure is there if you choose to take advantage of that, where now you can send out emails to your friends and say, hey, listen, I'm running the Josh this year, and by the way, I'd like to raise money for Berkshire Humane Society.
That's
right,
great.
That type of thing. So
a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah,
a great
idea. And it keeps and it, you know, like I said, we still have our relationship with the United Way. Mm-hmm. That's unchanged, but this is in addition to that, to, you know, just encourage a little more philanthropy if people are available to do that, and just mostly, I think the best part is that it's more about learning about these different nonprofits that are here in our community.
So this is for the racing teams and the racers themselves to be able to say, hey, I'm doing this work, but I'd like to also leverage the effort that I'm putting in to raise money for specific organizations.
Right. It's as though if they already went into this with an idea of supporting somebody and they did their own GoFundMe page. Mm-hmm. This is the infrastructure that would be similar to that, and it's more directly in line with their registration. So it's all kind of a package. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How important is it to bring in those sponsors, and what is the process like to do that? Because that's, I'm sure, some that carry over from year to year that are sort of dedicated to it, but it's a lot of work, right? It's a heavy lift to bring in those.
Yeah, so we have a lot of dedicated organizations and businesses that have always been partners with us, and they come back every year, and that we're so appreciative of that. But, you know, it's always just like any kind of anybody else is in any kind of fundraising, you know, you just go out and you try new places, right? And I'm always surprised because sometimes there'd be a business that I'm like, oh, I don't really know if they'd be up for this. And then they're like, oh, I love the Josh Billings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to do this, right? So I do kind of throw out a big net, you know, and I'm surprised sometimes by some of the smaller businesses that are like, yes, we absolutely want to be part of that. And then there's plenty of others, you know, there's a lot of saturation out there. It is hard, mm-hmm. you know, and I understand that a lot of businesses, sometimes they're not in a position to do it right now, or they've already given so much to the community.
Right.
And that's great. I'm glad they're doing that.
It really is the backbone of our community here, those small mom and pop shops and organizations. As I know from running a nonprofit organization, that the big box places don't always come through and support you like the small groups do. Yeah. And anytime you get a chance to support those local organizations mm-hmm. that give so much back to the community through, for example, sponsoring the Josh Billings Runaground or sponsoring WTBR or PCTV or any other organization, that those are the ones you want to make sure that you patronize and support.
Exactly. And it's not just the small businesses. It's also the local institutions, mm-hmm. like a lot of our banks. You know, Lee Bank, South Community, Adams Community Bank, mm-hmm. Greylock Bank. You know, these are all organizations that they give a lot to the community, mm-hmm. and so we need to support them.
Truly a Berkshire experience, the Josh Billings Runaground. And if you're just tuning in, we've got a few minutes left of our interview here today with Brian Burkle, who's the race director of the Josh Billings, and Chris Calvert is the committee president. We're talking all about the race here today. It's just a reminder, it's happening on September 20th. It's a Sunday, the last day of summer. mm-hmm. Here we are in the middle of summer. We got to think ahead.
But it comes quick.
Yeah. Registration is open right now. It's on their website, which is joshbillings.com. You can train or not train. It's up to you. Probably have a better experience if you
train to be safe.
A little
train
bit.
To be safe.
Yeah. Finding your team and using their matchmaker service that we talked about in the first half. Probably really important if you just want to get involved, but you can only do one of the three things. Maybe you're just a biker, just a paddler, or just a runner, but you're looking for other people, like-minded people. They'll put you in the right category, right? So you're not necessarily, mm-hmm. you're an older guy like me, you're not racing against somebody who's 20.
Yeah,
or maybe you have them on your team. Maybe that could help. Right?
Yeah, they'll try to make good matches.
Yes. Yeah. That's great. In the couple minutes that we've got left, just talk about sort of the overall experience of what it's like to be a part of this every year and to come back. Like, obviously, you have people that just don't come just that one year and say, oh, that was fun. But, you have people that come every year and do it as a regular thing, right?
We've got one team that flies over from France every year now.
France? No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
They are ecstatic. The one year it was shut down for the pandemic, they were all very disappointed that they couldn't come over. But I think it's an addiction. Once you get involved with the Josh, it's tough to stay away.
Yeah, and just a fun time for everybody involved. Great event. A true Berkshire legend of an event.
It's a tradition.
Yeah, tradition.
It's a tradition that we're on 49 years. So 50 next year, like I said, not to get ahead of ourselves today, but we have some fun stuff.
Yeah, do you have any nuggets you can share with us for the 50th? I know we're talking about the 49th, but tease us a little bit on that.
More cowbell.
Cowbell.
Yeah, we're going to have cowbell this year. Cowbell is a new thing this year. Berkshire Money Management is sponsoring our cowbells this year.
Oh, that's great.
So that's a new introduction. And next year more cowbell. We're going to go back to some old traditional things that haven't been done in the past few years, respect in some way. The decor of the 1970s, like maybe there'll be an award for best dressed, like with the best tube socks and stuff like that.
Leisure suits? You can't really paddle boat in a leisure suit.
I suppose you could, but I'd stick with the more athletic type of, like the shorty shorts and the headbands and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
very good. Yep. Got to have some tradition.
Yeah.
Got to love it. All right. Well, Brian Burkle, Chris Calvert, thanks so much for being here this morning talking about the Josh Billings Runaground. It's been great. Any last words before we're off the air?
Just check us out. Even if you're just a little bit curious, please check us out, joshbillings.com. See if there's something in there that works for you. And we'd love to have you. Even if you don't run race with us, show up at the bash, enjoy the party, or at least come along, stand along the route and cheer our racers on.
Great. Great having you. Thanks very much for being here, and good luck with putting all the rest of it together this year.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend out there. And Brian, you're going to be here on Monday?
Tuesday.
Yeah,
a little switcheroo.
Switch it around. But yeah. obviously, Brian, one of the voices of Morning Drive as well, and we thank him for all that work putting those shows together. All right, everybody, have a great weekend, and we'll see you again next week. Take care.